It's good worship today. Thank you very much, ladies. In the chair in front of you is a connection card, and particularly we talk about that during the welcome, but I wanted to point it out today, right now in particular, because there's a back spot on the connection card that is just an opportunity for you to respond back to the sermon, if you will. If the Lord has spoke to you about something, it's an opportunity for you to kind of jot that down, maybe a decision you've made, something like that. So I'd encourage you to make sure you take advantage of that. There's also a spot for prayer requests, and we have a connection box at the very back that you can drop that in on your way out. So I'd encourage you to do that. We are in the last week of the series of I'm a Church Member, and personally I've really enjoyed just kind of studying for this sermon and for this sermon series. This has been a different sermon series for me, basically because when I like to preach, I kind of like to concentrate on one passage of scripture and kind of walk through that. But this, we've done it a little bit differently over these last several weeks. But I've really enjoyed the study for this, and for a couple reasons. It just has really reminded me of the importance of church membership. It's really reminded me of why God says that He loves the church, and then why it is important for us as believers to love what Jesus loves. So it's just been a good reminder for me, and my prayer is this during this whole series is that we would realize as a church how important church membership is. It's not just something to put a notch on our belt, I'm a member of this church, but it's really something that we should be an active, breathing part of the body that God has put together here at Northside. And my main prayer is that we just have a renewed sense of pride, if you will, in church membership, and a renewed sense of pride in our church. And I may be partial, but I think we have one of the best churches in the world. So I think, you know, we need to have a renewed sense of pride in that. And we're going to have a really good opportunity. As you know, we've talked about several weeks of our membership recommitment. And today is going to be the day we'll have that we'll open up the signing for membership recommitment. We'll keep it open for a couple weeks afterwards, after today as well. But it's going to go something like this. At the very end of the sermon, we're going to open up kind of just at the very end, kind of an altar call, if you will. But this is an opportunity for you, if you are a member here at Northside and you say, you know what, I love my church and I want to recommit to membership, for you to come forward. And again, there's four sheets of paper on each table, two tables, for you just to sign your name and just say, mark me down, I'm recommitting. You know what, I'm recommitting. I want to be serious about church membership. I want to be serious about loving what Jesus loves. But then it's also an opportunity for you, if you're not a member here at Northside, essentially over these last 6 weeks, you've sat through the membership class that we would typically have for those who are interested in membership. So if you're currently a member of Northside, but you would like to be, this is also an opportunity when we do the recommitment for you to come forward, and you can sign as well, and just saying, yes, I want to join this body of believers, and I want to be a part of this church. So we'll do that at the very end, but I'm very excited about that. Before we get into that, I want to look at our church covenant today. That's kind of what we'll be kind of walking through today, is our church covenant. Now, for some of you, you might think, I didn't know we had a church covenant. Right? I didn't know we had a church covenant, you know, or what is a church covenant? Why is a church covenant important? Basically, a covenant, for some of you, this will look familiar. For those of you who have been through the membership class with me already, you've seen this church covenant. This will look very familiar to you. For those of you who may have not gone through the membership class yet, or maybe you've been a member here forever, maybe you've never seen this thing. It's also in our bylaws. But a covenant is simply this. It's us agreeing to come together to do certain things. That's what a covenant is. It's us coming together as a church body and saying, you know what? I want to agree that we're going to do these things. We think these things are important, so we're agreeing to do these things as church members, as a church body. We're agreeing that we're going to come together and we're going to do these certain things. So that's kind of what we're going to be looking at today. And I really believe this. If we will do these things that we're going to talk about, it will change our church. And it will change our church because it will change us as individuals. As we begin to do these things, we will change. And change is a good thing. I'm looking around now, and a lot of you are sitting in different seats than what you've sat at normally in the past. And I'll be honest with you, as your pastor, it's kind of throwing me off a little bit. Because I'm used to out seeing, and I'm like, okay, nope, they're not, where they are? Oh, there they are, okay, so... You know, it's one of those that I'm used to seeing you at certain spots, but you remember I challenged you, say, hey, sit somewhere different because you might meet somebody new. and there might be a visitor who comes in who needs the seat that you used to sit in. And I'll be honest with you, maybe this is just a lack of faith on my part, but I really thought that that would last for like a week. I thought the next Sunday everybody would kind of switch things up, but then we'd all find ourselves creatures of habit and kind of go back to the seats where we normally sit. But it hasn't. You guys are really kind of moving things around. And maybe it's because you got here a little bit later today and somebody else was already in your seat. I don't know. But you know what? You're shaking things up. You're changing things. But that's what it'll do. It'll change us. As we begin to put these things into progress, into the process, it will change who we are. And that in of itself will change our church. And will make us, as we've talked about, healthy, functioning church members. Because let's just be honest. None of us should join a church just to join, say we've joined the church and then not do anything inside the church. That doesn't make a lot of sense to me. It doesn't make a lot of sense to say, I'm a church member at this church, but I don't ever show up. I don't ever get involved. I don't ever come to any events. That doesn't make a lot of sense to me. To me, it's a lot like in January if you were to join a gym and then never go to the gym, right? I don't want to ask, raise your hand, who have done that, okay? But I'll be honest and say, I have done that, okay? Where, you know, you get excited, yes, I'm going to join. You join a gym, and you've got all these grand visions of what you're going to do, and then you never show up except the day that you joined, and you looked around, they gave you a tour of the facility, that type of thing. And then yet you continue to pay the monthly, you know, over and over and over, but you just don't ever really involved. Well, my prayer is that's not the type of church members it will be. My prayer is that we'll be healthy, functioning, active parts of the church. And that's why this covenant is so important. So let's kind of look into it. The first part of the covenant is this. We're going to covenant together to protect the unity of Northside. We will covenant together to protect the unity of Northside. Now, we all would say unity is vital in a church, but it's also very difficult in a church. It's vital, but it's difficult. Why is it difficult? Because all of us are messy, right? All of us have our own quirks, our own hang-ups, our own bad habits. Just think about it this way. Try to put 165 people together and lead them into one direction. That's difficult because we're all messy. We all have our own issues, okay? And we all kind of come together, but God has called us to be unified and to be together in things. I look at it a lot of this way, kind of, and God equates it very much, the church and the marriage, a lot in the same ways. But if you remember back to your marriage, when you first got married, that whole honeymoon phase, right? Everything was good that first, you know, 1 to 3 months. You know, everything's great. And then all of a sudden you realize that he had some bad habits that you didn't know about, and she has some bad habits that you didn't know about. And now those things that you used to think was cute, it's just now just really super annoying. Okay, right? That's marriage, right? Now, my wife discovered I had some bad habits when we first got married. Okay, one of my bad habits was I would come home from work, I would sit down in my chair, and I would take off my socks and my shoes so I could kind of spread out my toes and just let them breathe a little bit, but I would leave it right there by my chair, my socks and my shoes. And then they would be there until morning. Okay, now, I did that quite often. Eventually, my wife broke me of that bad habit. Now, when I first got married to my wife, I discovered that she had no bad habits. I've been married for 17 years. I'm not that dumb, fellas. I was about to have a whole bunch of ladies come unglued at me. But that's what happens. Inside of a marriage, it takes work to stay unified, doesn't it? It takes work to stay on the same page. Anybody who says marriage isn't work has never been married, okay? Because marriage is work. And it takes work to stay on the same page. It takes work to stay unified, but it works the same way inside of a church. Inside of a church, it takes work for us to stay unified. And we have to do whatever we can to make sure that we protect the unity of our church. That should be on all of our minds. How do I protect the unity of Northside? What do I need to do to make sure that our church stays unified and stays connected? I believe there's a few things that we can do to protect the unity of our church. We can act in love toward one another. We can act in love toward another. Romans chapter 12 says this, live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. We have to learn to love one another, and just not the ones that are easy to love. And I get it. Some of you are thinking, Ryan, you don't quite understand. There's this one person in this church that I just can't love. It's impossible. You don't understand what they've done to me. You don't understand what has happened to me. I can't love this individual inside this church. I want you to think about it this way. As you have that one person you can't love, there's a chance that you're that one person for somebody else. Let's just be honest. With that in mind, we got to love one another. We got to do whatever we can do to love each other. As Romans tells us, live in harmony with one another. Don't be proud, but be willing to associate with everybody and love one another. And we got to practice it. We have to learn to practice loving one another. What did Jesus tell us about love? He said this, if you love one another, that's how the world will know that you're my followers. It didn't say the world will know you're my followers if you wear your Northside shirt. It didn't say the world will know you're my followers if you read your Bible at work. It didn't say the world will know you're my followers if you tithe every Sunday. It said, no, the world will know that you're my followers if you love each other. Think about it this way. If you're new to faith and you're seeking out faith, you're seeking out this whole Jesus thing, you're not quite sure what you think about it yet, but you walk into a church and you see its own members being hateful towards one another. Is that going to make you want to have anything to do with faith? Absolutely not. Why? Because there's no difference. You see people being hateful out in the world. You wouldn't expect to see it inside of a church. That's why Jesus says, the world will know that you're my disciples if you love each other. If you're compassionate with one another. If you bear with one another. If you encourage one another. Love should define us as a church. And I'll be honest, I believe it does. I really do. When I moved here in September of 2016 with my family, one of mine and Becca and I, we sat down and we talked, and one of our goals, we said, we want this church to be a family. More than anything else, we want this to be a family. We want it to be a place where people walk in and they feel loved and they feel accepted. We want it to be a place where kids are welcome and we love each other's kids. We want it to be a place where when we're down, there's going to be someone here that's going to be able to pick us up, is going to be able to lift us up. We want it to be a place when we walk in, we know if we didn't get anything else throughout the whole week, we know that we'll get a hug when we walk inside Northside. Because there's going to be somebody here that's going to hug our neck and say, I've been praying for you this week and I love you. That's what we need to be as a church. And that's the type of environment I want us to continue to have. And church, I believe we're getting there, and I believe we have it. I believe we're a family. I heard this. I was in my office, and someone said, oh, don't worry, I'll take your kid, and you go do whatever you need to do. And someone said, you know what? We're just a tribe. It takes a tribe to raise kids. I love that that's the type of church that we have. But we've got to continue to work on that. We can't get complacent. We got to continue to do whatever we have to do to make sure that everybody who walks through those doors feels loved and feels accepted. Because they're not going to necessarily feel that way outside in the world. But when they walk in here, people should say, you know what? It feels different in here. It feels different than any other church I've been at. Because I just feel like people want me here. And they love me. That's what we should be seeking to do, acting in love toward another. But we also have to make sure we refuse to gossip. This is a big one in churches. We got to refuse to gossip. I know that's difficult because all of us want to be in the know, right? Let's just be honest. Something's going on, we want to know what's going on. There's an issue, we kind of want to know what the issue is. That's just human nature. You know, and it's funny, I think many times, at the end of the day, there's no way to cut it but to say gossip is a sin. But at many times, we do a really good job of masking it, if you will. I love prayer, I really do. But one of the types of prayers that I hate is a gossip that's formed inside of a prayer request. And you guys know what I'm talking about. You've been there. Someone shares a prayer request and all it is just a gossip about somebody. Can I just be honest with you? That's wrong. We shouldn't do that. Prayer is something sacred. Prayer is something, conversation between us and our Heavenly Father, and we should not taint it by throwing something in as divisive as gossip. Gossip will destroy the unity of Northside faster than anything else. I've often heard it said this way: if you're not part of the problem or the solution, you don't need to know about it. Now that's hard. That's hard for me as a pastor. Because there's times I'm not part of the problem or the solution. So I don't necessarily need to know. Many times something needs to stay between you and another individual. Scripture tells us this: if you're having a conflict with somebody, what you should do is go and make it right with that person. And then if you can't make it right with that person, then you get somebody else involved. But what we do typically is when we have a conflict with somebody, we go to our friends and our buddies and say, "You will not believe what this person did to me." Immediately you begin to gossip. We got to stop that. Gossip will kill the unity here at Northside. We've got to do whatever we do to protect the unity. Ephesians 4 tells us this: "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen." So the words that come out of our mouth should build each other up. And then it says it should benefit those who are listening. Gossip benefits nobody. Benefits nobody. All it ends up typically doing is getting your friends mad at the person you're mad at. And that shouldn't happen that way. We've got to love one another. We've got to refuse to gossip. But also, in order to protect the unity of Northside, we have to follow leadership. To protect the unity, we need to make sure that we are following godly leadership. I've literally heard this said, not at this church, but I've heard this said this way: my gift is just to make things tough on the preacher, to keep him honest. Can I be honest with you? That's not a spiritual gift. I can promise you. I've studied spiritual gifts for a long time, and that's never come up, okay? Making things difficult on the preacher has never come up as a spiritual gift. We've got to learn to follow leadership. But sometimes that's hard. Sometimes it's very hard, and I know it's hard. For the first 16 years of me being in ministry, my job as an associate or my job as a youth pastor was to follow my pastor. That was my job. My job was to follow him and to make sure that I made his life easier. Okay, and to make sure that I took anything I could take from him. But my job was at the end of the day to follow him. And sometimes that was tough. Why? Because I had a different vision at times. I thought it might be better if we did something this way. But at the end of the day, that didn't matter. Because my job was to follow. Was to follow him and follow his leadership. We have to do whatever we can to make sure we're following godly leadership. And godly leadership is very important. Hebrews chapter 13 tells us this. It says, "Have confidence in your leaders and submit to their authority, because they keep watch over you as those who must give an account. Do this so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be no benefit to you." We're called to follow godly leadership, but this is what we do have to understand. Leadership will give an account one day for their leadership. It's very important to realize that. One day, church, when I stand before God, I will give an account for how I've led Northside. I will give an account. Me and God will have a conversation, and he will ask me some very pointed questions on how I led this church. And that weighs heavy on me. It really does. Just like one day when you stand before God, you'll give an account, gentlemen, on how you led your family. I'll give an account on how I led my family, but I'll also give an account for how I led here at this church. So I'm asking you to pray for me. I'm asking you to support me. And you do. You do such a good job. I'm so thankful for this church, how you come alongside me and my family. I love the fact that this IF conference went as well as it did, because what it showed me was my wife had women who came alongside her and helped her with it. She had a great leadership team that just came alongside her and said, you know what, we see your vision and we want to jump on board. What can we do to help? I love that. I love that about our church. But we've got to do whatever we can to protect the unity of the church, which means we got to love each other, refuse to gossip, and follow leadership. Number two, not only do we need to protect the unity of Northside, but we're going to covenant together to share the responsibility of Northside. So what is the responsibility of the church, right? If we're going to share in it, we need to know what it is. Responsibility of the church is very simple. It's to tell others about Jesus. That is the responsibility of the church. The church can do a lot of things. The church can be involved in a lot of things. Church can have a lot of different ministries. But at the end of the day, when we break it down, the responsibility of a church is to share Christ with the world. That's the responsibility of the church. It's not the responsibility of the church to have a great youth ministry, which I think we should. It's not the responsibility of the church to have a great children's program, although I think we should. It's not even the responsibility of the church to have great preaching, although I really hope we do. The responsibility of the church at the end of the day is to point people to Jesus. That's our responsibility. That is what we're to do. In church, if we are not a church that is telling people about Jesus, then we're not a church. We're just purely a club. If we're not telling people about Jesus, then we're not a church. We can call ourselves a church, but at the end of the day, we're not operating as one. We've just become a social gathering. We've become a social club, if you will. And I don't ever want us to get to that point. We live in a world that is literally searching for something. Every day, our world is searching for something. They're searching for hope. They're searching for peace. But here's the thing. As a church and as a believer, we have the key. Do you realize that? You have the key. You have the key to unlock the door of hope and peace for the world. And the key is Jesus. We've got to give Jesus to the world. I look at it this way. It's almost if you see or watch somebody with a keychain that has like 100 keys on it, right? And they're standing at a door and they're trying every key to unlock this door. They're doing everything they can, trying every key, going to every key, and you're standing there right next to them with the one key that'll open the door. And you're just sitting there watching them laugh. Laughing at the frustration they have going through all these keys. That's our world. They're trying to find hope and peace and joy in a ton of things. And we have the key. We have the key, and that key is Jesus. And it's our job, it's our responsibility to take Jesus to them. Now, this can be difficult because I think sometimes we can become very inward focused as a church. We can become very inward focused. It can be very much about us. Very much about what we want, our desires. We talked about that a few weeks ago. But church, let me please tell you this way. The church does not exist to make us happy. I want you to grab a hold of that. If you believe that church membership is about you joining a church that is going to keep you happy 100% of the time, don't join this church. Because that's not what it's about. It's about joining a church is about saying, you know what? I want to point other people to Jesus. Amen. That's what a church is about. That's our responsibility. It's not just something we can decide, oh, maybe I'll do that, maybe I won't. No, absolutely not. That's trash. We have to tell people about Jesus each and every day. We have the answer. But yet we're just focused on watching people go through a huge keychain of keys, trying everything to find peace, trying everything to find joy. And we're sitting there right there with the one key that'll do it for them. The one key that'll unlock everything. It's our responsibility to make sure that we're reaching the lost, to make sure we're telling those about Jesus. It starts by sometimes inviting someone to come to church. Inviting them to come. Saying, hey, I don't know what all is going on in your life, but I think you might find the answer here. Come to my church. I'll save you a seat. I'll even sit by you. I'll introduce you to people. Just come to church. I've heard this a lot of times. A lot of people say, I can't invite people to church because I don't know any non-believers. All I know is church people. I'll be honest with you. If all you know is church people, then you don't have your eyes open. What about the young lady who was standing behind you yesterday at Walmart, single mom, struggling with two or three kids? That's someone you can invite. What about your boss? What about your coworker? Yeah, I know they swear a lot. They still need Jesus. What about the folks that come to Meals Ministry every Monday here? They need Jesus. What about the guy you see walking down the street, a little dirty? Maybe he's the guy that you grab a hold of your purse when he walks by. They still need Jesus. Church, we've got to open our eyes. There's a world that is dying and going to hell. But we sometimes are too focused on our own happiness and our own comfort zone. When we have the key, and the key is Jesus, we've got to share in the responsibility of Northside. Romans chapter 15 and verse 7. Says, accept one another, then just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. Part of the ways to share Jesus with others is learning to accept others. Learn to accept them right where they're at. Because here's the thing about Jesus. Jesus meets us right where we're at, doesn't he? I don't know any of you who had to come and change your life first before you came to Jesus. It doesn't work that way. Jesus says, you come to me and all your mess and all your sin and all your shame, and I'll do the changing. You come to me just the way you are, come just as you are, and I'll change you. We've got to learn to be that way with folks. So you know what? Just come to my church. Just come just the way you are. There's going to be someone here who's going to love you. There's going to be someone here who's going to accept you. And at the end of the day, I promise, you'll find Jesus here. If you don't find anything else, you'll find Jesus. So we're going to covenant together to protect the unity of Northside, to share in the responsibility of Northside. Number three, to serve the ministry of Northside. We're going to covenant to serve the ministry of Northside. Each of you, 1 Peter 4:10 says this, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. Each of you have gifts in here. God, at the moment of your salvation, has given you what is called a spiritual gifts. The moment you were saved, he endowed you with spiritual gifts. Now, I don't want you to get nervous and say, well, I don't know what my gifts are yet. That's okay. It's part of our job as a church to help you discover your gifts. But the moment you were saved, God gave you spiritual gifts. But here's the key to it. He did not give you those spiritual gifts for you just to say, I'm a gifted person. No, he gave you the spiritual gifts for you to use them inside the church. That's why he gave you those spiritual gifts, is for you to use them inside the church and to do whatever you need to do to make sure that your church is the growing, active body that it needs to be. I really believe this. God has given each of us a shape. Not a physical shape, okay? We all have our own physical shapes. But a spiritual shape, if you will. Kind of a makeup, a spiritual makeup, a spiritual DNA that kind of tells us exactly what he wants for us in our life and exactly where he wants to serve and exactly what he wants us to do. Our shape is made up of a couple things. Number one, it's made up of spiritual gifts. So I'd encourage you somewhere on your notes to write an S and just write spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts are those gifts, again, given to us at salvation. There's a lot of different spiritual gifts. Encouragement is a spiritual gift. Maybe you're just a natural encourager. Discernment is a spiritual gift. Wisdom is a spiritual gift. Hospitality, the gift of helps, is a spiritual gift. Teaching, prophecy, that doesn't mean you can predict the future. Prophecy means that you have the ability to speak God's word in a very direct manner. That's what prophecy is. That's a spiritual gift. So part of your shape is your spiritual gifts. Another part of your shape, the H, is your heart. This is the idea of what you love to do. Okay, what just kind of gets you going each and every day? What do you love to do? God uses many times what we love to do a part of his plan. And many times what you'll see is your spiritual gifts, he pairs those with what you just love to do. So what do you love to do? Think about that. Some of you in here, you absolutely love kids. You just love kids. And that's many times why you found yourself downstairs many weeks working in our kids' ministry. Some of you love to sing. That's just part of a love God has given you. Some of you love to do craft type stuff. Some of you love numbers. Whatever it might be, what do you love? What do you love to do? That's the H of the shape. The A of the shape is abilities. These are the things that you're just naturally good at. Things that just kind of come very easy to you. Things that you're just good at. And they could be a lot of different things. Maybe you're just very good at talking with people. Maybe you can go up to somebody and just have a conversation and it's not a problem at all. Maybe you've never met a stranger. Maybe that's just a natural ability of yours. So God takes our spiritual gifts, our heart, what we love to do, our abilities, what we're good at. But he also takes our personality, which is the P in shape, is the personality. It's the idea, are you friendly? Are you quiet? Are you outgoing? Are you grumpy? Whatever it might be, what is your personality? God takes all those things and he begins to make up your shape. Your spiritual DNA, if you will. The last part of the shape is an E, and it's the experience. Your experiences, both your past experiences, both good and bad, God uses to make up who he has you to be, to make up your shape, if you will. I'm going to give you an example of just my shape. How I feel like God has shaped me to be exactly where I'm at today. Spiritual gifts. I've taken a spiritual gift test several times. There's a few that always come through. One is prophecy. Again, I cannot predict the future, but it's the gift of being able to speak God's word in a very direct manner. Discernment, teaching, and the last one, which has really surprised me the last time I took it, was encouragement. Those are some spiritual gifts that God has just given me. My heart, what do I love? At the end of the day, I love people. I've always loved people. Even when I was in high school and I first got saved, my first thought was, I got to tell my friends. I've got to tell my buddies. Not only do I love people, but I love seeing people grow. I am passionate about people taking their next steps. That's what I love. My abilities, not as many of these, but I'm a communicator. God has just always given me a gift to be able to talk. I'm a communicator. But I've also been told that I'm relatable. That people feel like they can just relate to me. They can have a conversation with me and I get where they're at. And I believe those are just some abilities God has given me. My personality, it's a weird one. And you guys know that. I'm an introvert, extrovert. I love people. I love Sunday mornings. But I'll be honest, at the end of Sunday mornings, I'm really tired. I'm an introvert, extrovert. Typically, at a party, well, I love going to parties, but typically at a party, I won't be the center. I'll be somewhere over on the side, just kind of watching. Sunday mornings, I've got to be very much an extrovert. So that's kind of my personality, my experiences. When I was 14 years old, had a man named Steve Switzer. You guys heard me talk about him, who just invested in my life. 14 years old, just brand new to faith, brand new to church, and he saw something in me. And he just invested in me. When I was 28 years old, he hired me to come work at his church. And I worked with him till I was 36. This man has changed my life because of the investment that he made inside of me. And that has made me want to do that with others. That's my shape. That is what's made up who I am. Now, I know you might not know your shape yet, and that's okay. My job is to help you discover that, to help you discover your unique niche inside this church. But I want you to understand this, is your church needs you. Northside needs you. It needs your abilities. It needs your heart. It needs your personality. It needs your experiences. It needs those spiritual gifts that God has given you. Northside needs you. The last thing we'll do, covenant together to do as a church, is this. Number four, support the ministry of Northside. We can support the ministry by attending faithfully. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. It says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as in the manner of some, but exhorting one another so much more as you see the day approaching. Attendance is important because it has an impact on our spiritual walk. Think of it this way. If you only show up to church, once or twice a month, just imagine if your foot decided to only work once or twice a month. Okay, it's going to impact you, right? Church attendance is important because it helps you to grow. Helps you grow closer to Him and helps you grow closer to each other. But it's important to grow. Church attendance is very important. So we can support the ministry of Northside by attending, but we also support the ministry of Northside through our tithes and through our gifts. Malachi 3:10 says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessings that will there not be enough room to store it. About 5 weeks ago, I challenged you to take a 3-month tithe challenge. That was a challenge that I threw out to you as a church. And many of you have done that. Many of you signed the commitment card, and I've been sending you weekly emails just to encourage you and to remind you about that commitment. And I've heard some things back from people. Had one lady came up to me and said, you know what? Typically during this time, we really worry about finances. But we just said, you know what? We're going to give. And we haven't worried about finances one time. God has just provided.
Amen.
How cool is that? I love what it says here, Malachi. It says, test me in this. God says this, listen, trust me with your finances. Not because I need them, because we know God doesn't need our money. But here's the thing that we kind of need to really get clued in as believers. Our money really isn't ours to begin with. It's all the Lord's. And you're like, well, I worked hard for this money. Well, you did, yes. But God gave you the ability to work hard for that money. God gave you the job that you had. God gave you the resources that you have. So it's all His. It's all started as His. So our job is to trust Him. So as we trust Him with our finances, as we trust Him, we step out on faith saying, you know what? Okay, God, I'm going to tithe this week. I'm trusting you. God says, test me, trust me, and watch me supply. Watch me come through each and every time. Many of you have done that, and I'm proud of you. For those of you who have taken that commitment, I am proud of you. I get that's a big step. That's a huge next step. But continue to trust Him. It says, as we trust Him, as we test Him, He will provide. A few next steps for you before we close out. So that's our covenant. We want to protect the unity of Northside. We want to support the ministry of Northside. We want to get involved in the service of Northside. We want a covenant to do those things together. So some next steps for you before we get into the membership recommitment. Number one, do you know Jesus as your Savior? Have you come to a point in your life where you have accepted Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? If you have never done that, I don't even want you to worry about church membership right now. I don't want you to worry about it, whether or not you're going to come forward and sign or anything like that. The most important decision you'll ever make is not whether or not you'll join Northside. Most important decision you'll ever make is whether or not you'll accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Some of you in here today are like that person who has all the keys in their hand. You're trying to unlock the door to find hope and peace and joy in your life. Some of you literally are doing that right now in your life. And you're trying a lot of different things. Can I just save you a little trouble and stop you mid-key ring? None of those keys that you're trying is going to find you the joy and the peace that you desire. That's only found through relationship with Jesus. It's only found through relationship with Jesus. Have you accepted Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior? If not, that's your step today. Second step. For some of you who are members of your Northside, your step is to recommit to membership. And say, you know what? Yes, this is my church. And I love my church. And I want to recommit to my church. I want to recommit to be the member that God has called me to be. Some of you say, well, Ryan, I'm already doing all those things. That's great. Recommit to continue to do them. Recommitment is important because it reminds us of the importance of how important it is to be a church member. But not just a church member, but a functioning, healthy church member. For some of you, your next step could be simply this, to join a membership. Maybe you've been attending Northside for a little while now, and you said, you know what? I'm ready to cross the line. I've been saved. I know the Lord is my Savior. I've been baptized. Now I need to join. I want this church to be my church. I want to be a part of that family. I want my kids to have other people to love on them. I want people to be able to love on me. I want to be a part of that. Maybe that's your step today. Would you bow your heads with me? In just a moment, Brandon and Ashley are going to begin to play and sing a song that many of you are very familiar with, simply called I Give Myself Away. As they begin to play and sing, it's your opportunity to kind of do business with God. But as I said, we're going to open up the front for an opportunity for you, if you're a member here at Northside or you're desiring to be a member at Northside, to come forward and to recommit. And say, this is my church. And I love my church. I love the people of my church. I love my deacons. I love my pastor. And I want to recommit. Maybe that's what you need to do. Maybe you need to come forward and sign and say, you know what? I want to join. I want to be a part of this church. So in a moment, I'm going to pray. When I'm done praying, they're going to begin to sing. And when they do, that's your cue to come forward. To come forward, there's pens, papers here for you to sign. But before we do that, if you don't know Christ as your Savior today, if you have never accepted Christ as your Savior, I'm going to ask you to do something that, you know what, it's going to take some courage to do. While everybody else is moving forward to come and sign, I'm going to be over here on my left-hand side by these steps. And if you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, as everybody else is moving forward, will you come forward too? And just meet me by the stairs. Because I would love to take God's word and show you what it means to trust Him as your Savior. What it means to have Him to provide that joy and the peace and the hope that you're already searching for. Jesus is the answer. Will you accept Him today?